Hello, we are here again for another week, NRL Live episode 37. Huge week in sport and rugby league again. Tigers MS is with us as always to chat about it. How are you, mate?
Good, very good. How are you?
Good, good. We've got a lot to get through. The Cronulla Sharks, of course, in turmoil there with the drug scandal. We're going to talk about that. And Manly Seagulls, apparently, they're next on the list. We'll go into a bit of detail about that also. Week one, the results, a few upsets, a few as we thought. We're going to talk about that as well as week two's picks, and that will lead into our Supercoach segment, of course. We named a lot of players last week. We'll see how they went after week one, and also which supervisor you should get before the price changes come into effect after round three. And I'm going to give you a world of sport also. Pete isn't with us this week. He's got the week off. He's away travelling. But Tigers MS and I will go through everything with you. And Tigers MS, the Cronulla Sharks, well, let's start with them because obviously not long after we recorded the podcast last week, it all broke about them, or Damien Irvine there, chairman of the time, actually standing down for coaches, including the head coach, Shane Flanagan. They've ended up sacking, or not sacking, but he's ended up standing down himself, Damien Irvine. So that only just happened in more recent times. But still no word about any players or any direct accusations, any charges to any players, Tigers MS. When are we going to get all this information?
Look... I really don't know. I mean, you'd think with all the hoopla that went along with it,
yeah,
that something was happening in the background. But, you know, allegedly everyone that was fired or stood down was done so for other reasons other than the drugs probe. But then, yeah, nope. Then you've had, players confronting ex-trainers and all that kind of thing. It's a mess. Cronulla didn't have a CEO. I mean, Bruno Cullen is possibly in talks with them to help them part-time, but that's not really... It's not a part-time job, I'm afraid. CEO is a CEO. Then you have Damien Irvine after he gave the horse drug story, kind of realised that he shouldn't have done that and then stepped down himself. It's a real mess. I really have to question the timing of all this Asada stuff. We heard it for a fair way out from the start of the season that, you know, clubs are being looked at and all that. Why was it coincidentally, round
week one? And only with rugby league.
I think it stinks a little bit.
We know the AFL have been accused as well. There's rumours going around that potentially they've done deals or inside deals with the ASADA, and the NRL actually ended up, their CEO David Smith went to Prime Minister Julia Gillard. So there's a lot of information out there right now, a lot of, rumours, innuendo from all sides, and it's a matter of it now trying to get it all collated and maybe finally this evidence to come out. I'm sort of still waiting, I guess, to see, like all of us, what's going to happen. But certainly it looks like the more this comes to light, the more evidence is actually out there. And I think now they're saying there's three Manly players that could be charged in the upcoming future, near future. So Jeff Toovey's come out and said his players are clean. He says, you know, there's no systemic issues at Manly. The ASADA is going to go in there next, but I guess we'll see what happens. There's also a person simply nicknamed the Gazelle. Now, he's an assistant of sports scientist Stephen Dank. So apparently he's going to be interviewed. And the former Sharks head trainer, who's now at Parramatta, Trent Elkin, he's hired solicitor Colin Love, who was actually the ex-ARL chairman, to help him go through all the interviews and whatnot in regards to ASADA. Look, this is going to go on pretty much each and every week. I think we're going to be discussing what's going on in regards to it. It's not going away. They're not dealing with it quickly. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's not. but there's going to be more information out, and the people that have said, you know, it was a storm in a teacup, maybe not so much. We are hearing more and more each and every week, so stay tuned. Stay tuned to NRL Live and our Twitter sites, at Paulie G Sports, at TigersMS78, and we will let you know what's going on. But that's all we can sort of talk about right now in regards to that. How did it affect the Week 1 results? Well, Thursday night we saw a team that performed mightily last year, South Sydney Rabbitohs, really stick it to the Sydney Roosters, 28-10. On Friday, probably last year's form again came to the fore with the Manly Seagulls overcoming Brisbane, 22-14 up there. Parramatta, 40, defeated the Warriors 10. A huge performance there by the Eels under new coach Ricky Stewart, while the Warriors, also under a new coach, dead set awful. Also on Saturday night, the Cowboys overcame a gallant Canterbury, it must be said, but the North Queensland side showed their class, in particular Jonathan Thurston, 24-12, that final score. On Sunday, Penrith 32 smashed a hapless Canberra Raiders 10. Not a lot of good to come out of that for the Canberra Raiders. We'll talk a bit more about them in a moment. The Melbourne Storm, 30, defeated the Dragons 10. Pretty much an expected result. Thought the Dragons tried hard, but the Storm just too strong in the end. Cronulla, 12. Now, that was the big one, obviously. Defeated Gold Coast 10. They really did play on emotion in that victory Sunday night footy. It's good to see, too, some Sunday night footy. And Monday night, the Newcastle Knights, well, they put on their own show. 42, defeating pretty poor West Tigers 10. And it looks like it's going to be a great year for Wayne Bennett's coach club. Maybe not so good for another coach there, Mick Potter, the Tigers. Well, they could be fighting for the spoon. Tigers MS, week one, what did we learn?
Well, we learned that Parramatta are going to be better. That's for sure. And the fact we were talking about last week with having Jared Hain and Chris Sandow to fire. And when they do, Parramatta are hot. And they did. And Parramatta looked really good. They were great. Newcastle were great. Admittedly, against poorer sides. I thought that North Queensland were very good, actually. They had a bit of a tough game against a club who was missing their best player in a fairly vital position.
Yeah, and a number of key forwards as well.
Yeah, that's right, as well as... so they kind of had to win that game, but it was getting that role of winning away from home to start the year, and I think that'll serve them pretty well, that game, the Cowboys.
I can only agree with you there. We did notice that from the top eight last year, Souths and Manly obviously had good victories, as did the Storm. But other top eight teams, Cronulla got over the line, as did the Cowboys. Canterbury lost, but to a fellow top eight team. But the Canberra Raiders really were the team that underachieved, I thought, in round one. The Broncos did lose as well, but they lost to a fellow top eight team. And the Raiders, well, they're in disarray. Josh Dugan and Blake Ferguson have been dropped, and potentially suspended indefinitely. We're not too sure what's going to be the outcome there, but they're out of this week's game. The Raiders, are they the shock team that everyone thought would do well this year, but maybe now back against the wall for them?
Oh, look, it might go one of two ways. Things like this can either, you know, galvanise the remaining players or totally pull the team apart.
Yep.
I dare say it's probably going to galvanise them. The word is that the playing group is not real happy with both of the players, and they won't really be all that sorry if they get shown the door.
Right. Well, let's go into round two now and talk about all the games. And the Friday night game is Parramatta versus the Bulldogs. I think this is going to be a good game. Look, Dogs, I thought, were pretty gallant in defeat on Saturday night, while the Eels really did come out and play pretty well, but the Warriors were awful. This will be the big test for Parramatta, their new look side. I thought Jared Hayne at the one, he looked like a number one last week. He played like it. He still was outstanding for them, but he wasn't trying to do everything. Guys like Chris Sandow and Renny Matua really stood up.
Yeah, I agree with that. They had a change in the 5-8 because Luke Kelly's injured. They got Joseph Polo, which is... he's an able replacement. He's obviously more of a running 5-8, but he can ball play. I quite like him as a player. He's pretty versatile. And the Dogs, they look good. They've got Drew Lowe at fullback this week. But I think it's going to be tough for them because they are missing that third playmaker. They have Reynolds, they have Keating, but they just missing Barber chiming in, you know, into the back line when he wants. There's no disrespect to Jury Lowe, but yeah,
he's got another step to go, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's got some big shoes to fill.
Well, I notice that you're tipping the Eels. I'm going to go the other way and tip the Dogs, but geez, I'm not confident. It could go either way. And they're going to have a second Friday night game on the Broncos back to their regular Friday night against the Dragons. Look, two teams that first up losers. And I notice that we're both picking the Broncos even though they're away from home. Is that a case of what Brisbane showed us in the first half last week, or more a case of what we don't think the Saints can do?
I think Broncos played all right. They just have to get a bit more ruthless. They probably could have had that game against Manly. Whereas I just don't think the Dragons have the firepower to match it with them. I just don't think they're kind of in the game. Like, Melbourne totally blitzed them, but that is Melbourne. But I just think they're a little bit off the pace at the moment.
Yeah, every week Nathan Fiennes named at halfback, I think it's a week they're going to struggle to score points. The Warriors and the Roosters, I think we're both picking the Roosters there. Even though they lost pretty poorly last week, they still looked better than the Warriors. Well, a great game is going to be the other Saturday night game, the Cowboys versus Storm. How do you see that one going?
Look, I think the Cowboys will do this one at home. It'll be tough against Melbourne, but, geez, I'm looking forward to it. You have Bowen up against Slater, then you have Thurston and Cronk in the halves, and it's not to mention two hard-working forward packs up against each other. Just looking at the bench, I do think that Cowboys do have the better bench, and I think that's probably where they'll just get over the top of the Storm.
Yeah, look, I'm going to go the other way and pick the Storm, but only by two, and I think you're right, it's going to be a great game. It's going to be super close. It's going to come down to that final few minutes. I like Ryan Hoffman. I think he's going to have a big year again. I thought he played really well last year, and he may be the difference in the end because a lot of those other guys cancel each other out. But the way Jonathan Thurston's playing, anything's possible. He really is, to mine, the best player in the game at the moment. Gold Coast Titans versus Canberra Raiders. Well, that is an early kickoff. I guess it's a 2 p.m. kickoff, or they're up there, it's at 1 p.m. It's going to be hot. And the Titans, well, they fought hard on Sunday night but couldn't come away with the points. Well, the Raiders just didn't show up out at Penrith. We spoke about the Raiders being able to come back. Reece Robinson back at fullback. Youngsters Jack White and Edric Lee into the three-quarter line. Can they turn it around?
I think they can. The Gold Coast, they come up against a fairly interesting situation at Shark Park with a team that defend well any time, but they defended particularly well and were running on emotion on Sunday. I think the Raiders, with the week they've had, I think they'll want to come out and blow that out of the water and just get back to winning.
Yeah.
And I think they have the team to do that against a relatively inexperienced Gold Coast.
Yeah, the key for the Gold Coast are their halves, Aiden Caesar and Albert Kelly, probably maybe the most unknown half combination in the competition, but they could put it together. And I'm going to stick with the Titans up there. I think we're both going with the Panthers against the Tigers out at Campbelltown in the 3 p.m. game. Well, Panthers were very good last week. Tigers were not. Coming off Monday night, it's probably going to be a bridge too far for them. But a team that also coming off Monday night but certainly showed what they can do is the Newcastle Knights, and they travel down to Brookvale Oval to play Manly the Sunday night game. This one's going to be a ripper, Tigers in this.
Yeah, very. Am looking forward to this one. An old school Manly Newcastle battle. Kirk Gidley's looked like he was back, playing pretty well in the seven. But it's the back line where Boyd, Gagai, Uarte, they're all very good against the Tigers. I mean, the Tigers couldn't tackle them.
Look, Boyd, he looked a different man this year.
Yeah.
In that way, he was playing the ball. He wasn't simply playing as a runner. He was actually creating, and that was a huge difference. I still think Manly will win, but wow, I like the Knights this year. I think they've got top four written all over them.
Yeah, definitely.
And you've got the Knights away from home.
I do.
Finally, the Monday night game, South Sydney Rabbitohs versus Cronulla Sharks. I think this will be another good game, but it's going to be hard for the Sharks to play on emotion. I've got the Rabbitohs. Tigers MS, you're going the same way?
Yeah, look, I got the Rabbits. They looked very good against the Roosters. Greg Inglis is in pretty good form, and as is Nathan Merritt. And yeah, that's two threats from the back there. Not to mention a nice, good-looking forward pack there. Sam Burgess is out, obviously, but Jeff Lima comes in, so he's quite an able body replacement. And I do think that they are going to get over the top of the Sharks.
So there are our tips for week two. We'll put them up on the website for you as well. Remember, you can download the show anytime, www.pooleygsports.com. We do it each and every week with Tigers MS, and usually with St. Peter, but he is away this week. But Tigers MS and I also do a little thing called Supercoach, and it is time to do our Supercoach review after week one, and we're going to talk about what we've learned. We're going to talk about any ins and outs that you should look at after round one, and also maybe just revisit some of the picks we talked about last week and see exactly how well, or maybe how not well, they did. Tigers MS, I mean, we can start with the top performers from this week, and Aki Uate, well, he's the one that leads, or it's top of the list, but I guess a lot of that had to do with his try scoring. Three tries really got him up to that huge total of 137. He also had four line breaks and a number of tackle busts, 20 points worth of tackle busts, so that's 10 tackle busts.
Yeah, that's a big effort. I noticed that it's quite interesting. Of the top 10, there's only two who aren't in the halfback or fullback centre wing position.
Yeah, the backs, they talked about backs all year with this new system, or off-season, and it's showing so far. But the question will be the consistency of a backline players, because 1 week, the ball can go to your wing, you can score a bunch of tries, really post huge points. The next week, you might end up with nothing. And obviously, if you're playing head-to-head in Supercoach, you need those consistent performers. And these guys that are week on, week off, if you want to be there in the playoffs time, finals time, you need those more consistent players. So that's what we can talk about a little bit in regards to that. I thought you take away, you know, those huge points for those tries. And obviously, he's a noted try scorer, so I think he'll still score well as we go ahead. But a guy behind him, Steve Maddie, he's worth less, 216,000, and put up big points too, 117 points. Did have two tries, admittedly, that helped his cause. And then going behind him, Chris Sando, well, only 207,500, and one try and one try assist. So he's a guy that could really do that each and every week. So certainly a very noted performance by him. So that top three, interesting top three, but like you say, it looks like a lot of fullbacks and halfbacks, and obviously your centre wingers. Some of the guys we talked about last week, well, I can tell you what, if you did listen to us, you would have been very happy, because our hot buys included guys like Greg Inglis. Well, he's rated 12th at the moment, because he put up 92 points. Jared Hayne, well, he's ranked 7th right now. So, I mean, this is a guy, 385,000. So huge cost.
Yeah. He's one of those guys who's versatile as well, because he's in the 5/8 position, but he's playing fullback.
Yeah.
So you could put another fullback in your fullback position and work up points that way. So he's quite handy. I said last week that he's hot and cold, and that a hot Jared Hayne would get you a lot of points. And it's, so far it's proved true. If he goes off the boil, then, yeah, we'll have to see. But at the moment, he's definitely going well.
Jonathan Thurston ranked 4th overall, so he's probably worth his big price tag of 336,700. And Josh Mansour, at a relatively bargain, 276,900, well, he's ranked 8th, so he had a big day also. 97 points there against the Raiders. I guess two guys that maybe didn't do as well, Liam Fulton and Felitti Mateo, victims of bad team performances possibly. We'll have to keep an eye on them. But some of the guys that definitely look like they're coming down are the ones that we had in our stay away from column, I guess. Corey Parker, Sean Fensom, Aidan Tolman.
Yeah, it just depends. Like, I mean, those guys might pick it up, you know, later on in the year, but definitely not worth their price at the current time with the points they're putting up.
Got to wait after round three. Prices are going to adjust, and Fensom and Parker will come down, and then you might get a bit better value for them because they are pretty consistent type of players. They're just not at that same value, perhaps. Some of our sleepers probably are still a few weeks away. The guys like Jury Lowe and David Clemmer, I thought they played pretty well. Lewis Brown, but maybe still keep them on your watch list at this point.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, Lewis Brown is relatively cheap at 170, as well as obviously David Clemmer is. But yeah, you'll just have to monitor how those guys go on then. If they're not already in your team and they start hitting form, then get them in there.
And we'll talk more about that next week, obviously, because that really is, by then, you've got to make those changes before the money changes. But trades have already commenced. So you've got 40 total. So another thing that you really want to get that balance right now, trades have commenced long-term. Tigers MS, speaking of trades, you've got ins and outs for this week.
Yeah, look, I think if you can... getting Cam CO from the Eels in there.
Mm. Ranked 18th overall, centre, right. Winger or fullback.
And he scored 81 points. He's relatively cheap at 218 when you consider the other guys in that kind of area and in that kind of price bracket.
Yeah.
And if you have Matt Utai in your team, get rid of him. Get rid of him now. Because I honestly don't think he's going to last too long in the actual Tigers side, and he had a fair dinkum shocker on Monday night, and it cost him a lot of points, and it cost, yeah, if you had him in your team, it cost you a lot of points as well. So yeah, CO in, Utai out. Look, the other one I've got is halfback. Something I picked up on today. Seguiare from the Panthers.
Yep.
Plays hooker off the bench, but can be slotted in your fantasy league as a halfback.
Yep.
Now, he would be a nice little buy because he's 200,000, but he's one of those guys because we've seen Robbie Farah rack up 96 points in that hooking role. And I think Seguiare is... he was 24th on the list, and he got 76 points, and that was off the bench.
Yeah, 200,000, so great value.
200,000 off the bench, so I think he's the way to go. I think if you play him, and if you've got the room to move, if you want a like-for-like swap for halfback, Albert Kelly, 127,000.
Oh, absolute bargain.
Absolute bargain for a guy of the same amount who scored the lowest of the halfbacks, Jacob Miller from the Tigers. Punt him and put Kelly in there.
Yeah, interesting about James Seguiare, because what we do is we look at points per $100,000 that cost you. So basically a $100,000 player, well, he could score a third amount of the points, he'd get you in the same value. Now Seguiare at $200,000, that puts him at 38 points per $100,000. So that is pretty decent, It's better than Jarryd Hayne, who's only at 25 points for his value. It's better than Jonathan Thurston, 31 points. So better than Robbie Farah, 29 points. Some of the biggest scorers, and obviously if you go down the list, well, he's going to be beating most of those big-name players, the likes of John Sutton, James Tamau, Todd Carney. He's basically double those guys. So great bang for your buck, if you'd like, Seguiare. And you can put him either at halfback or the front row. So you've got... a lot of value there. If you're in a draft situation, put him on your bench because he can fill two positions. Get him now. Probably no one picked him up, so he's probably still on the free agency list. Go and take a look, see if you can get him.
Definitely.
Some of the other big performers, I thought, this week and some of the other positions, when we looked at looked at it, they actually got a lot of their points from tries. So whether they're going to be able to keep that going or not is going to be a big question. I like to look at guys who put up the points but didn't score any tries or have any try assists. So probably looking at that consistency. And one for mine was Paul Gallen. Huge cost, $460,000, but he's a guy I think you can put... you know, pretty regularly he's going to still put up those numbers. But another guy did score one try, but he still put up 93 points, is a guy who's absolute bargain, George Burgess, 105,400 coming off the bench, 93 points last week.
Yeah, that's a steal, that one. He did put up some great numbers and he got some good game time, and I think that's going to stay the same for him. He looks fit, and he looks like he's got the motor to... get some big minutes in each game.
He's a guy you've got to put in.
Yeah, I think that's great. It's a great buy. 105,000.
Yeah, and Rennie Matua, 201,100. He did have two try assists, but 85 points, huge points. He did put it together.
Yeah, no, that's excellent work. And I think, obviously, sticking with the more successful teams, and it's just a case of, you know, being able to get those successful, pick those successful teams before the season starts, and getting those players will help you out. And I think Matua's is a beneficiary of that. But he did the work, and yeah, 85 points is very, very good. Someone who I'd like to talk about is the 50th highest point scorer of the weekend, which was Matt McGilrick from the Raiders.
Yeah.
102,000.
Yeah, one try assist. So yeah, mainly did it.
One.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's not a... I don't think it's a bad thing, because he will get on the park, because the Raiders have their number nines alternating.
25 tackles.
Yeah.
5 hit ups over 8 meters.
Yeah.
So that, you know, he's putting up good numbers.
It's pretty big for his cost, especially. Yeah.
Yeah, look, I can only agree with you there. And a young guy who's actually from the Tigers, they played pretty poorly, but he actually got in the top 100, and that's Jack Buchanan at 87,500 for a losing team, 47 points. Not a bad effort at that price again.
No, that's a very good... Well, actually, it's an outstanding price, really, for a prop that's starting.
Under our per 100... 53.71. So,
yeah,
I mean, that's pretty huge. George Burgess ranks the highest, 88 points per 100 grand. But 53, Steve Maddai beats it out. But that's pretty much it in your top 100. So he's pretty much third, fourth ranked after Matt Mekarik, of course, as well.
Yeah, that's right. It's slowly forming, like the patterns are forming. But you're not going to know until maybe round 5, when you just got to be a bit astute with who you picked, and don't overspend on the flops, I guess.
Yeah, and you know, you've got a bench, so use it wisely and use your reserves wisely. And we've told you the key positions. We'll go over it again next week, of course, because you do have one more week after this week. But look, take our advice, pick those guys up, see how you go. Next week, that's the last chance for that. The draft, of course, the Supercoach draft, it's just rolling. You got to get in there. Anyone that's not picking up your points now, get rid of. Anyone that is, pick up. You can always drop them next week. It's unlimited trades to the free agency list.
Yeah, that's right. You got to use it. You got to use it smart.
Well, thank you for that, Tigers MS. And guess what? It's time to move on to World of Sport. And I got a little beauty for you here. We'll mention Twitter, because you should follow us on Twitter at Paulie G Sports and at TigersMS78. But one person who's probably wishing he didn't follow someone on Twitter, and that is the UK boxer Curtis Woodhouse. He basically had enough of a Twitter troll getting abuse from a user called at JimmyOB88. Apparently the Twitter user goaded Woodhouse after the former Hull City and Sheffield United soccer player lost his English light welterweight boxing title last week. Woodhouse decided to make a stand. Somehow, he managed to get the at JimmyOB88's address, home address that is, tweeting while he was on his way to have a little chat with him. Woodhouse gave a countdown on his arrival, confirmed the street name, tweeted out a picture when he arrived, and then when he found the house, the troll apparently was backing down, apologized. He quoted us saying on Twitter, "Chill out, pal. I was only doing it so you would bite back. It was only a bit of harmless fun." And then, "I am sorry. It's getting a bit out of hand. I am in the wrong. I accept that." But the apology did not appear to turn away Woodhouse, because he posted later, he knocked at the address in question. No one answered. He said, "My dad always said, you have to be able to walk it like you talk it, but he seems to have messed his pants. I thought he was only joking. I think he thought I was only joking. He's just a bully that gets a kick out of being nasty, but today it backfired." So if you're going to follow us on Twitter, be careful. We could just be on our way. Nah, just kidding.
I definitely not going to try and fight you. but I am looking through your window right now.
You can get the podcast each and every week at our website, www.paulieg.sports.com. That's PAULIEGSPORTS.com. And, mate, we're going to be back again next week, of course.
Certainly will.
Thank you so much for joining me again tonight, Tigers MS. We'll see you later.
You will.
And we hope you all join in again next week. Tweet, 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 tweet. Could be coming. Watch out.